Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Berens.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I am going to cover secrets today. We're up to volume number 348. And it just amazes me how many volumes that we've come through exposing news that controlled media doesn't want you to know, refuses to put it out there for you. And it just goes to show that, man, it's just so much goes into what you're told each and every day. And I scour the web pages, the emails that so many of you send me. They're just outstanding sources. And I appreciate your help getting these information items to me, getting them printed up and studying them, reading them, trying to figure out if it's something that you can use. So it is an honor and a privilege that you trust me with this information, and I'm happy to share it. Now, before we dig into secrets, I've got a couple prayer requests and a praise report. A dear friend Khalil out in California, tremendous supporter of the ministry, and he asked for prayers for two friends, Andre and Auburn. He's asking for guidance, direction, and safety for Andre and Auburn. And if God wills, prayer for the release and freedom of these two people. He also asked for a prayer for a co-worker by the name of Claudio, asking for a financial blessing so he can be free from his financial debts. And he just got out of the hospital, and he's asking for prayer for healing for Claudio. Happy to do that. He also requests healing for the son of George, who is a co-worker. George's son has been in the hospital. I hadn't broadcast this, but Khalil had asked that we pray for Claudio that he would find some type of housing or shelter. And the praise report is he has found shelter. And, you know, a number of these prayer requests that come into the ministry, whether they're via email or letter, Sandra or myself or both of us will sit there and we'll pray over your information, pray for those you're asking for prayer for. I want to thank so many of you who have been praying for my mom. Told everyone she had cancer. Well, she has taken a turn for the worst, and I really don't expect her to make it, honestly, through this weekend, being the first weekend of October. And my brothers and I have been in constant communication. We've been visiting as much as we can with her most every day. And she's no longer lucid. She had conversations with my uncle Carl, who passed away a number of years ago. And I visited with her Tuesday night, and she saw my dad's brother, Uncle Mike, and had conversed with him. So thank you for your prayers for my mom. She is a Christian woman, and she loves Jesus, and she's ready to go home. And I want to thank you for praying for her. And I got a phone call from a dear friend in Georgia. She is a Georgia peach. Her name is Karen Sue. Please ask for healing and for comfort. She lost her parents a while back, but it's still affecting Karen Sue. But on top of that is the health issues that she's suffering from. Please pray for peace for Karen Sue and for healing. for her. And I appreciate all of you prayer warriors out there for taking care of these lovely people that have asked for prayer. I greatly appreciate it. And if you have a prayer request, you can phone the office, you can write a letter to the office, or you can email me. And I'm happy to pray for you, your family, your friends, coworkers. It is a blessing to be able to pray for everybody. Now, I want to get into the secrets, the nuts and bolts of it. And I've talked about the California wildfires. And Adam Carolla, after he evacuated from his home, he was in a hotel room and he has a podcast, and he got on there and he talked about what he foresaw as far as rebuilding LA County. Well, think about it. It was January of this year, 10 months ago. Malibu lost over 700 structures. Would it shock you if I told you that in 10 months, two reconstruction permits have been issued? Well, if you know California, you're not shocked, are you? But what are the people who run California really doing? Are they doing anything besides crafting crazy legislation to send to Governor Hairdo Newsom that further squash free speech? I'll get to that in a little bit. But Adam Carolla had this to say on his podcast back in January. Quote, "You guys all voted for Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. You all voted for Gavin Newsom, and now you get what you get now that your house is on fire. So here's what's going to happen. All these people who are deep blue Democrats are now going to have to pull a permit to rebuild. And they're going to get the 28-year-old bleep from the Coastal Commission telling them to go bleep off, and then they're going to go vote for Trump or whoever's Trumpian next. When they start getting the regulation, they're going to go nuts. And when they start running into the bureaucracy and the red tape, they're going to start going nuts, and they're going to vote for Rick Caruso next time. They're going to find out they're going to get bit by their own snake. They're going to convert. I'm telling you, these are the bluest people on the planet, and they're going to be irate when the city and the Coastal Commission tell them to bleep off." Close quote. Flashback, January 2025, every politician representing the LA area, I'm talking about city councilmen, the governor, the mayor, they all promised to expedite permitting to help residents rebuild after the fires. But it was all garbage. It was a lie. It was a hoax. People knew it then. But everybody in California's Pravda pretended to take them seriously. Is there any reason to doubt why it's called Commie-fornia? The Pravda, the truth, according to Commie-fornia. These politicians that y'all put in office have failed to follow through on their promise to expedite the permitting of rebuilding these structures. Newsom promised to rebuild the area better than ever, but was he talking about a democratic utopia instead of actually putting permits out so that people could rebuild their homes? Got this from the LA Times. "The slow pace of reconstruction after January's fire disaster prompted the resignation of the city's volunteer rebuilding ambassador." He also suggested that Mayor Marianne Riggins, I guess from Malibu, should gracefully step down too. His name was Abe Roy. He told the city council he was resigning. He said, quote, two permits issued in nearly 10 months is an abomination by any standard, close quote. Honestly, every person involved in this fiasco should resign in shame. Our society would be so much better off if all of these people who voted demon rats into office on a national level chose Republicans at their local level. Can you imagine if Bass and Newsom were running a Fortune 500 company? They would have already been fired for dereliction of duty. Goodness gracious. Speaking of being derelict in your duty, how about the Des Moines Public Schools? I thought that teachers and administrators were fully vetted, their histories checked, before they were offered a job. I know as a high school football official here in Texas, every year I have to submit to a background check to make sure that I have no crimes against persons, no driving while intoxicated, no crime on my record. If I have a DWI or a DUI in some states, if I have an assault against a human being, these are big time red flags, and my sanctioning body would refuse to allow me to enjoy the membership opportunities that allow me to officiate high school football. I would be banned. But not in Des Moines, obviously. The Department of Justice has opened an investigation into Des Moines Public Schools after its superintendent was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. His name is Ian Roberts. He is a Guyanese national in this country illegally who has a criminal record related to unlawfully possessing a firearm. Roberts was picked up by ICE. He was placed on administrative leave by the district, and eventually he resigned as superintendent. This guy was pulling in over $300,000 a year. What is going on, Des Moines? How did you not vet this guy? He was charged with possession, illegal possession of a gun. And when he got pulled over, he ran from the cops first. And then he ditched the car and took off on foot, and they caught him hiding in some bushes. But in the car, guess what they found? Another gun, as well as a hunting knife. And this guy, who was the superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools, was pushing the district to change its hiring practices to make it easier for individuals with criminal records to be hired within schools in the name of diversity. Now, the district is being investigated for alleged race-based hiring practices. Des Moines. Just, I came across that story and I almost fell out of my chair. Because what is more precious than our babies and their education? Well, now it's their indoctrination, but if you're a good parent, you're worried about your children and you don't want felons in charge of their education. Man, but it's not just Des Moines. It's California. It's North Carolina. It's Virginia. In Loudoun County, it's New York, there's some in Texas too. The idiots are running the asylum. In California, there is Yolo County Moms for Liberty. The chairperson is Beth Bourne, and she addressed the Davis Joint Unified School Board on September 18th. And she got creative because this school board has deemed it okay for boys who identify as female to use the girls' bathrooms and the female locker rooms. So she proved her point. She got up and she was speaking to the school board, and she said, quote, "I'm a parent in the Davis Unified School District. I'm here today to talk about the policies you have for the locker rooms in the junior high schools. Right now, we require our students to undress for PE class. So I'm just going to give you an idea what that looks like when I undress." Just before she started taking her clothes off, revealing the bathing suit she was wearing underneath. She said, quote, "So right now this school district is saying that depending on a child's transgender identity, they can pick which bathroom they want. So we have right now at this school district, we have children self-identifying into different bathrooms just based off of their," and she got interrupted by members of the board. They told her to stop speaking. School board vice president Hiram Jackson called for a recess. 5 minutes after that, the meeting resumed and they allowed Ms. Bourne to the chance to finish her comments. And she began to strip down again, and the board ordered another recess. And when the board reconvened a half hour later, they went to a new topic and would not let her speak. But think about that. She's in a bathing suit, a bikini. She's 50 years old. It's a legal form of clothing. May not be appropriate, but she's not nude. And she's not in her drawers. She is in a bikini. And these are men and women, adults, on the school board. And when she takes off her top, you can see the women looking back and forth at each other going, "I can't believe she's doing this." And when she starts to take her pants off, they blew a gasket. And the irony is lost on these idiots on the school board because she is proving a point. How uncomfortable did these school board members feel watching this woman undress at their meeting? It's the same way that girls feel when boys invade the locker room, and I've reported this last time, when girls invade boys' locker rooms. It's an uncomfortable feeling. They are going through changes in junior high. And they're just not comfortable with that. Most of them, some are perverts, but most of these teen boys are uncomfortable with a girl coming into their locker room. And I can guarantee you that the girls are twice as uncomfortable to have some boy come into their locker room claiming that he is a girl. But Ms. Bourne says she's gone to every board meeting for the past 3 years to voice her concerns, and they've always been ignored. So she thought she'd undress and grab their attention. It worked, but trustee Cecilia Escamilla Greenwald told local news that they called the police after the second recess, and they are considering steps for future meetings. She said, quote, "I know that our superintendent is going to be speaking with counsel to see what can be done because it's very inappropriate for anybody to be coming before the board and behaving in such a matter. It's very inappropriate. Wake up and smell the coffee. It's inappropriate for a boy to be in a girl's locker room." Goodness, can we be any more dense and stupid and idiotic to think that this is natural, that this is normal? And these people are put in positions of power at the school board setting policy. And if they're that uncomfortable with a 50-year-old woman just getting down to her bikini, magnify that for teenage girls. Pull your head out of the sand. All right, we're going to move on. You know, Wikipedia, if you think about it, was a great idea. So much information right there at the palm of your hand. At the click of a mouse, you've got an encyclopedia right there. Except everything gets corrupted these days. The co-founder of Wikipedia is Larry Sanger, and he recently appeared on Tucker Carlson's show, the one that he podcasts. And he had a revealing discussion with Tucker about the nature of Wikipedia's source approval process. Mr. Sanger highlighted the ease with which individuals can access a list of sources blacklisted by the online encyclopedia. You can figure it out. And I'm going to play the part of the clip that they talked about this between Tucker and Mr. Sanger. Just give you a heads up. Wikipedia lists the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, The Nation, Mother Jones, and GLAAD, for the homos, as fully approved. They are fully approved sources for Wikipedia. But blacklisted sites include Breitbart, The Daily Caller, Epoch Times, Fox News, New York Post, and The Federalist. And when Tucker asked Mr. Sanger about who is behind this idiocy, Mr. Sanger identified an account known as Mr. X as being responsible for this. Tucker said, I don't have this part of the clip because it was too long, but Tucker had said, quote, Larry Sanger built Wikipedia as an unbiased repository of the world's knowledge and then stood helplessly by as activists and intel agencies turned it into the most comprehensive propaganda op in human history. There is nothing more corrupt. And I'm going to play you this clip. I want you to, if you get a chance, write down the search words that Larry tells Tucker and search it out yourself. You'll be shocked at who is green-lighted or approved or blacklisted in red. This is amazing.
Sure. Just type in perennial sources, Wikipedia, into any search engine, and the first result will be this page.
And it names them, the blacklist.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's all color-coded. I'll give you some fully approved sources. New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, The Nation, Mother Jones, GLAAD.
Come on!
These are all green-lit, fully green-lit. Okay, the blacklisted sources are Breitbart, Daily Caller, Epoch Times, Fox News, New York Post, The Federalist. So you can't use those as sources on Wikipedia.
So is red, I'm looking at it now.
Yes. Red means it's blacklisted. You cannot cite it as a source of facts. Maybe as a source of opinion, but generally that works out.
Anti-Defamation League gets a green light.
Only for some. There's a serious academic encyclopedia of Christianity that is not allowed on Wikipedia. I was surprised to find that
Counterpunch is not allowed. Oh, they're naughty. They're naughty. Daily Caller not allowed.
Of course.
And we don't know who made this decision.
Mr. X is the name of his account. Now, it's edited, of course, as Wikipedia pages are, by a whole bunch of other people.
LifeSite News not allowed.
Right.
Of course, the pro-lifers.
Yeah.
Well, why does no one talk about this?
Search me. I don't know why people aren't talking about it. It's obviously huge news. I think it's simply embarrassing for the left. And so the left aren't going to report about it. And the right has been reporting about it.
Now, I will tell you that text is in Wikipedia. And there is some garbage in there that I tried to edit out. I had to create an account. I went into Wikipedia and I corrected the lies and the distortion and I put factual information. I got it straight from Tex. I went to Tex and I told him about his Wikipedia page and I asked him some questions and I went to Wikipedia and I put in facts from Tex Mars. I put those in. I submitted it, and they showed up for 5 minutes. And then they were put right back to the garbage. I did this 2 or 3 times, and finally Tech said, let it be. There's nothing you can do. Because the loony left, the activists, were controlling this way back in the early 2000s. And it's a great idea for an encyclopedia, an online encyclopedia. But you can't trust it. Speaking of being unable to trust, how about J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois? He had a press conference last week, and he said, Republicans need to tone down the rhetoric because calling people fascist is dangerous. What? It's dangerous to call somebody a fascist? Well, what has the Democrat Party been doing since Trump took office? Every Democrat that gets in front of a camera and a microphone complain about Trump and his sycophants, whether they're in the administration or if they are just supporters, they're called fascists by the Democrats. They're a threat. They are a systemic threat to democracy. But it's okay if a Democrat says that Republicans are fascists, that they're Gestapo or something of that nature. But if you pay attention to these wild accusations made by the demon rats, it is invariably a tell about what Democrats themselves are doing or plan to do. Censor people? Yeah. Lawfare? Yeah. Send the TSA after their political opponents? Quiet skies? Check. Abuse intelligence community to destroy their opponents? Check. Sounds like a fascist to me. But the Republicans have been deemed fascist by controlled media and the demon rats. But it's quite ironic that there are scores of commies in the Democrat Party. They happen to be the dominant faction. And the fascist label applies pretty well to the demon rats. But Pritzker says it's dangerous to say that. So, idiocy reigns supreme in the loony left. Well, here's something from Canada. And if you followed what happened to Ernst Zundel, you know what I'm fixing to cover. There is a North Bay man. He is 51 years old. His name is Kenneth Paulin. He has been sentenced to 9 months in jail after being found guilty of promoting hatred and denying the Holocaust through dozens of social media posts. This is the first ever conviction in a Canadian court for Holocaust denial. 9 months in jail and 2 years of probation. Goodness. In a press release, they said, quote, his posts vilified the Jewish community, promoted blood libels and conspiracy theories, incited hate and violence against Jews, and repeatedly mocked and denied the Holocaust. Well, I can tell you this, Tex couldn't go to Canada before he passed because of things he had said about the Holocaust. And we offer a tremendous book on the Holocaust, filled with facts. I'm going to tell you how to get it on the other side. I want to thank you for giving me a little bit of your time. I greatly appreciate it. We have to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back into secrets. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book that we offer through the ministry that exposes the hoax that 6 million Jews died. It is entitled A Greater Miracle than the lost 10 tribes discovered, the dead 6 million uncovered. But be careful, because it's against the law to deny the Holocaust in Canada. Is the Jewish Holocaust a massive fraud? Did 6 million really die? This excellent book is documented and exposes the Zionist outrageous mind control scheme to twist and distort historical truth for political and financial advantage. The Holocaust dogma is proven to be a racket perpetrated by unscrupulous, ungodly power brokers. Brian Alois Clairbaugh bravely put his life on the line by writing this book, which will surely become a scholarly classic. But I must warn you, this book is not available in any bookstore in the world, not even on Amazon.com. This subject is so hush-hush and forbidden that in many countries in Europe and elsewhere, anyone who agrees out loud with the author's facts will be tried and sent to prison for a thought and speech crime. Fortunately, in America, the Zionist Big Brother Brigade does not yet have the power to stop you from discovering the truth. However, we recommend you rush your order for this hard-to-find book, A Greater Miracle, today, before the thought police make freedom of speech a crime here, too. I've read this book. It is a tremendous fact-filled book. Even has a census of Europe prior to and after World War II. And when you look at how many Jews were counted in the census before and after, you'll be perplexed on how they came up with 6 million. But it's much more than just that. Brian does an outstanding job putting all of the pieces together in this one tome that you will bookmark, you will highlight, you will make copies, and you will want to share with friends and family. It is 544 pages. Took me about 6 weeks to read through it, page by page, and document my copy. It is only $25. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $31 for A Greater Miracle. That's the only title you need to remember, A Greater Miracle. Now, you can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart. Just go to powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for A Greater Miracle right there on the main page. Click on it. Put in your name, your address, your charge card, your shipping method. Hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing secrets. We're up to volume number 348. Recently there was an operation in Oklahoma, and it was meant to protect the citizens of Oklahoma and other states from people who have a commercial driver's license, a CDL, who shouldn't have one. It involves state and federal law enforcement officials. They arrested 125 illegal immigrants in a targeted enforcement action along Interstate 40. It was called Operation Guardian. They encountered numerous commercial truck drivers operating with licenses issued by sanctuary states, including one individual whose New York commercial driver's license identified the individual as, quote, no name given, close quote. Now, these illegal immigrants come from multiple countries. They include India, Uzbekistan, China, Russia, Georgia, Turkey, Tajikistan, Ukraine, and Mauritania. In some of these self-proclaimed sanctuary states, local and state officials have taken steps to protect these illegal aliens from immigration enforcement and issued driver's licenses to people who came to this country illegally. But this practice has come under fire recently after some of these drivers have been reported to not be able to read English, do not know our traffic laws here in the U.S. In August, three Americans were killed when an illegal alien semi-truck driver tried to do an illegal U-turn on a Florida turnpike. A minivan crashed into the truck's trailer, killing Americans. The illegal alien was an Indian national, granted a commercial driver's license by California. His name was Harjinder Singh. He crossed the border into California in September of 2018, arrested by Border Patrol, released on a $5,000 immigration bond, and given a notice to appear and had remained in immigration proceedings ever since. He obtained his commercial driver's license in both Washington State and California. On September 26, 2025, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced an emergency action to drastically restrict who is eligible for a non-domiciled commercial learner's permit and commercial driver's license. Citing an ongoing national audit, federal officials said that in California alone, more than 25% of non-domiciled CDLs reviewed were improperly issued. Duffy said, quote, licenses to operate a massive 80,000-pound truck are being issued to dangerous foreign drivers, oftentimes illegally, close quote. A review found California had issued a commercial driver's license to one driver from Brazil that included endorsements to drive a passenger bus and a school bus. There have been at least five fatal crashes since January involving illegal alien CDL license holders. There was one here in Austin. 3 o'clock in the morning, massive pileup on Interstate 35. He has since been charged with vehicular homicide. Ran into a bunch of cars, just willy-nilly. Doesn't speak the language, doesn't understand our laws for public safety. And these sanctuary states are giving out CDLs like they came out of a Cracker Jack box. It's stupidity at its peak, endangering American lives with these people who have no business being behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler. Well, the FBI deployed 274 plainclothes agents to the U.S. Capitol during the January 6, 2021 protest. Let me repeat that. 274 plainclothes agents were at the Capitol building amongst the crowd, but the FBI claimed that they didn't have anybody there. Christopher Wray, Comey. No, we didn't have anything to do with it. No. Is there any doubt now that this has come out? There was an after action report put together by scores of FBI agents. They detailed how agents were sent into a dangerous situation without proper safety equipment or even the ability to identify themselves as armed officers to other police agencies. Why did the FBI do this? In this part of this report, the most common among the complaints was that under the former directors, Chris Wray and James Comey, who just was indicted, the Bureau had become infected with political bias and liberal ideology that treated the Trump protesters much differently from Black Lives Matter rioters from the summer of 2020. Several employees directly mentioned the Washington Field Office and its culture. Quote, "The Washington Field Office is a hopelessly broken office that's more concerned about wearing masks and recruiting preferred racial, sexual groups than catching actual bad guys," close quote. This after-action report was more than 50 pages, and it has proven to be a bombshell to lawmakers, revealing for the first time the FBI had a total of 274 agents deployed in plain clothes to the Capitol with guns. Chris Wray steadfastly refused to tell Congress how many, if any, agents went to the Capitol that day. A prior DOJ Inspector General report did not divulge that number. This after-action report also reveals for the first time there were widespread concerns for years inside the Bureau that the FBI had become biased in favor of liberals and against conservatives. Almost 300 plainclothes FBI agents amongst the crowd. It's not your grandpa's FBI anymore, is it? Not that it was ever a bastion of good cops. I'm not saying there weren't good FBI agents. But when your director is a cross-dresser and has a dossier on everybody in Congress so that he can get whatever he wants. Yeah, J. Edgar was a Fruit Loop, and he was a subversive to Americans' freedoms and liberties. I want to get to this one. You know, the murder of Irina Zarutska, the Ukrainian refugee on the light rail system in Charlotte, North Carolina, was, well, to say the least, it was a gut punch watching her get stabbed by this career criminal. Had no business being on the street. Whether he is mentally handicapped or not, he should have been in a mental institution or incarcerated instead of walking the streets. But he is part and parcel with the escalating crime rates in this country. And the soft-on-crime DAs that George Soros has put in place, the loony libtards who are putting out no-cash bail, the idiots that are downgrading serious crime to lower-level felonies or even misdemeanors. The House Judiciary Subcommittee on Oversight held a field hearing at a Charlotte courthouse. It was dedicated to discussing the plight of crime victims. They heard testimonies from families who advocated for measures to prevent crime and hold violent career criminals and their supporters accountable. But Ms. Deborah Ross, a representative from North Carolina, a Democrat, during her opening remarks, confused the images and the names of two victims of which their stories were being shared to this committee hearing. She referred to one of the pictures as Irina Zarutska, when in fact it was Logan Frederico, a 22-year-old girl. She was promptly corrected by the victim's father, Stephen. He happened to be at this hearing. She apologized profusely for the mix-up. She acknowledged her mistake and her confusion. But his testimony is gut-wrenching. And I've got some of it. I cut it down. It was about 5.5 minutes long, and that's a little too much. But you need to listen to what Stephen Frederico had to say about the murder of his 22-year-old little girl.
How many of y'all have kids? I'm just curious. Here's what I need you to do. When I tell you this story, think about your kids. Think about your child coming home from a night out with their friends, laying down, going to sleep, feeling somebody come in the room and wake them, and drag her out of bed, naked, forced on her knees, with her hands over her head, begging for her life. She was 5'3". She weighed 115 pounds. Bang! Dead. Gone. Why? Because Alexander Devante Dickey, who was arrested 39 times, 25 felonies, was on the street. How about that? How good are we doing for our family? How good are you doing for your kids? He should have been in jail for over 140 years for all the crimes he committed. You know how much time he spent in prison? A little over 600 days in 10 years. He's only 30 years old. He was committing 2.65 crimes a year since he was 15 years old. But nobody could figure out that he couldn't be rehabilitated. Well, you'd have to put him in prison to see if he could be rehabilitated. Isn't that the idea of prison? You need to fight for the rest of our children, the rest of the innocents, and stop protecting the people that keep taking them from us. Please. You have the power. We put you in the power to do what you have to do. We're asking you, we're begging you all to stop this. My daughter laid on the floor for 7 hours before somebody in that house recognized that something was wrong. And that career criminal, an hour later, went on a spending spree with her debit card. When they saw his face on a video, they didn't have to do a check. He was arrested so many times, they knew who he was. They knew exactly where to go get him.
Gut-wrenching. They knew who he was and where to get him. Why was he out on the street? That's the question that needs to be answered. And if it was a judge that let him go, if it was a prosecutor who refused to charge this career criminal with a felony that would lock him up, these people need to be held accountable. They need to be charged as accessories after the fact, because they're the reason that this thug was on the street. That goes for all of the career criminals that Alvin Bragg, that Chesa Boudin, Gascon, the idiot here in Travis County. If they commit a heinous, violent crime, they need to be charged as accessories after the fact. Maybe throw in George Soros. Stick his old bony backside in prison for supporting the war against American citizens. Unbelievable. And I came across this a couple months ago. I haven't had a chance to share it, but I held on to it because this is part and parcel of what's going on with the crime in this country. A Las Vegas teen shot and killed his father because of a fight over electronics. And the judge sentenced him to probation. His name is Lincoln Peterson. He pleaded for mercy, claimed none of this was my intention. And District Judge Tierra Jones gave this murderer probation. The prosecutors had a request that he spend at least 6 years behind bars. Why was he upset? His parents took his electronics away for bad grades. Well, he didn't like that. He picked up a handgun that was laying on the dryer. Don't know why it was laying on a dryer. Shot behind him and didn't realize there was anybody behind him, but he shot and killed his dad. He had already threatened suicide. But he got away with murder for probation. Probation. Won't see a minute in prison. Will he rehabilitate? Will he show remorse? Will he atone for his mistake? Or will he continue to be a thug, a criminal? Well, if he is, this judge needs to be charged as an accessory after the fact. Let's talk about some more idiocy. Let's go visit the Pope, Pope Leo the 14th. He is woke. He is a joke. He blessed a block of ice during an event south of Rome while presiding over what looked more like a pagan earth worship ritual than a Catholic gathering. This was all part of the Vatican's 10th anniversary celebration of Pope Francis's climate encyclical in 2015 that helped launch a global green theology. There were speeches from Arnold Schwarzenegger. There were activist groups demanding world leaders clamp down on climate change deniers. And the Pope railed against climate change deniers, took an indirect shot at Donald Trump and the GOP. He accused skeptics of ridiculing those who speak of global warming. But Trump spoke at the UN General Assembly recently, and he told the plain truth that global warming is a con job being used by globalists to consolidate power, redistribute wealth, and crush sovereign nations. So the Pope blesses a block of ice, a big old chunk of ice, for some pagan Mother God, Mother Earth worship session. Is he a Christian or is he a pagan? I think you know where I stand. You know, right now, Israel has lost its key demographic in America. Young conservative voters. Recently, Benjamin Netanyahu had a meeting in New York with a group of pro-Israel influencers. Thanks to some investigative reporting, these influencers are being paid $7,000 per pro-Israel social media post because they are trying to bolster the plummeting support of Israel. Statecraft's Nick Cleveland Stout analyzed data from the U.S. Department of Justice that is required by the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Now, AIPAC is exempt from FARA registration, but social media and the payment of these influencers comes under the transparency law because it's the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Israel that's paying these influencers to post pro-Israel garbage. It was facilitated by Bridge Partners, a DC-based firm owned by Yair Levi and Yuri Steinberg. This campaign runs from June to November with a $900,000 budget for 14 to 17 influencers to turn out pro-Israel content. The influencers haven't been identified yet, but Netanyahu's candid public statements to influencers last week raised eyebrows. He said, quote, "We're going to have to use the tools of battle. Weapons change over time. The most important ones are in social media. And the most important purchase that is going on right now is TikTok." Well, TikTok was about to be banned in America. Oh, but Donald Trump stepped in and he arranged for this Chinese app to be predominantly purchased by so-called Americans to save it. Larry Ellison of Oracle has said, quote, "There is no greater honor than supporting the Israeli Defense Forces." His son, David, acquired CBS and is planning to install diehard Israel defender Barry Weiss over CBS News. Larry Ellison, pro-Israel. Andreessen Horowitz, his father David, is a pro-Zionist, unwavering supporter of Israel. The Israeli social media push comes amid cratering support for Israel among Americans. The deterioration is strongest among Republicans. That trend is even more pronounced among younger Republicans. In Responsible Statecraft, a poll found that just 24% of Republicans under age 35 sympathize more with Israel than the Palestinians. Oh, get this. This paid influencer project on TikTok has been dubbed the Esther Project. So, TikTok, controlling interest bought by Americans, so-called, who are pro-Zionist, pro-Israel. It's one of the most popular apps on smartphones among the young. And they are investing over $900,000 for content that's pro-Israel. Well, I want to finish with this one. I briefly mentioned it at the beginning. Censorship. We just found out that Biden's administration was forcing social media to censor content. And it was YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter that were the targets predominantly of the Biden regime to censor anybody that had something negative to say about the jab. Or if they claimed that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were miracle drugs that cured COVID. And they had to be censored because St. Fauci said the jab, the jab, the jab, right? Well, in their infinite idiocy, the State Assembly of California has put before Governor Newsom a bill that will impose hefty fines on social media platforms that fail to censor content deemed to violate the state's civil rights law. This is SB 771. It has passed through both chambers of the state legislature. If Newsom signs this bill into law, social media platforms that do not remove content that infringes on the state's civil rights laws could face fines up to $1 million. Now, critics warn that this could lead to widespread censorship of lawful speech. Now, the potential law targets platforms with $100 million or more in annual revenue. Its stated purpose is not to regulate speech or viewpoint, but to ensure that social media platforms do not knowingly use their systems to promote, facilitate, or contribute to conduct that violates state civil rights law. Guess who is a big supporter of this bill? George Soros. His funded CCDH has repeatedly called for the censorship of conservative outlets and figures, such as the Daily Wire, Breitbart, Newsmax, the Washington Times, and the Media Research Center. Soros is all for this censorship. We can't afford to have truth. We can only have propaganda that furthers George Soros' evil agenda. That's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.